This morning's scripture reading is going to be from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13. And I'm reading out of the New International Version. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
I don't know if you've ever seen the show Life After People on the History Channel. I watched a few episodes of this particular show, and it's kind of interesting to watch. Basically, it's built on the premise imagining a world in which all human beings have disappeared, and then seeing what happens after we're gone. What is of interest to me is the discussion of what happens to things we've made. As you think about the things on this planet created by human beings, they look at what happens to them when the human beings are no longer there to take care of them. And it may be the Astrodome or the Eiffel Tower or the Sistine Chapel. And you begin to see what possibly the passage of time will do to these great monuments to humanity. You'll find out that within just a few short days, Big Ben will stop ticking. You'll find out that in just a few years, the International Space Station will plummet. At the same time, you'll find out that the Declaration of Independence and King Tut's mummy will last for decades. Now here's what stands out about this to me. The times I've watched it, I've been reminded of the fact that while some things we make last longer than other things we make, in the end, they will all fall to dust and decay. That in fact, nothing human beings make will last forever. And according to 2 Peter chapter 3, 9, this planet itself will be burned up by the Father. In other words, if we want something that is really going to last, something that is enduring, it's going to need to be something that is made by God. I didn't get to spend as much time at the free lectures this week as I would like or have in the past. I don't know if any of you got to go up this week. But this week they're focusing on the 1 Corinthians letter. And in their chapel services, they looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. On Monday, they talked about the value of love and emphasized that love is excellent. On Tuesday, they talked about how love builds up people. It encourages people and saw that love is edifying. On Wednesday, they looked at love's ability to deal with trial and temptation and the struggles of everyday life. Love is enduring. On Thursday, they dealt with how love sees the world in a whole new light and it opens our eyes to a new way of looking at life and at people. Love is enlightening. And when they asked me to speak on Friday and conclude this series, they asked me to talk about love is endless. In other words, what they tried each day is to hold up love like you would hold a diamond up in the light and twist and turn your hand to and fro, and with each turn of the hand, the light glistened anew on the surface of that diamond and saw some new beauty. And as you think about those beauties, I want you to think about this last beauty, this last carrot, if you will, that we will add to the diamond. The beauty of a love that is endless. Diamonds are among the hardest substances on the earth. And because of that, they last a long time. You've probably seen an ad somewhere in the last few weeks leading up to Valentine's Day that said, diamonds are forever.
And because they last, because they're so durable, they're often passed down from generation to generation. What I want us to think about as we begin this morning, love is a precious gem that has been passed down from heaven to earth. And that it is something that no matter how rich or poor, we can pass down to the generations that follow us. And love is the one thing that we can take with us past the borders of this life. I want us to think about four things about love that emphasize that love is endless. The first thing I want us to think about is that love was there before time. For the most part, when we're looking at the Bible, we're looking at the march of time. The reality is that time is just a notch on the circle of eternity. It's something that God created to interrupt the flow of eternity, to guide our actions and decisions and memories on this planet we call Earth. And most of what we read in the Bible is the march of time. It's looking at what is happening in human history and the history of the world. And it's looking at how God interacts with humanity and how humanity responds to God. But every once in a while in the Bible, we get a glimpse of things outside the bonds of time. We get a glimpse of what will be after time is consummated in the realm of eternity. And we get a glimpse at times at what took place before time was created when we were in eternity. And we get such a glimpse in John chapter 17 and verse 24. In John chapter 17, we have that great prayer by Jesus as He's facing the reality of the cross. And He prays for Himself, He prays for His apostles, and He prays for us, all people who will follow after Him. And He makes a statement in that prayer in chapter 17, verse 24. And He says to the Father, "You loved Me before the foundation of the world. Before the waters split and revealed dry land for the first time. Before the sun peeked forth for its first dawn. Before the bird filled the first night with its song. There was love. Before there was time. Before there was a world. Before there was humanity. There was love." But not only was there love before time, but there was love at the beginning of time. You know that in the past I posed the question, why did God create the world? And different folks have different answers to that. And the reality is there are probably multiple answers to that. But when I deal with that question in my own mind, I find myself asking some other questions. I find myself asking, did God create because He was lonely? Was He alone without anybody to share existence with? Without anybody to love? Not according to John chapter 17 and verse 24. Did God lack glory and praise? Was there no one there to praise and honor and exalt Him? Not according to Job chapter 38 and verse 7. Was it that there was something that only human beings could give to Him? Something that He didn't have before? A gap in His needs, a gap in His existence that could only be filled by something human beings could give Him? Not according to Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. Now, it is true that God wants all creation to bring honor and glory to Him, according to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. But He had honor and glory, He had praise, He had relationships, and He had love long before the world was made. We cannot give Him anything He did not already have. So my question then is, what is the motivation for creation? And as we've alluded to before, I think the answer is found in some statements made by the Apostle John. One is one we know very well. In fact, both of them are. But in John 3:16, he says, "God so loved the world that He gave." In 1 John chapter 4, twice he says, "God is love." God's nature is love. Love is a part of who He is. And the nature of love is to give. The nature of love is to share. The nature of love is to build up. The nature of love is to create. Just like a husband and a wife out of love bring precious children into the world, I believe it is out of love that God brought the world itself into existence. I believe that He created the world for the same reason He saved the world. In other words, I believe that not only did love exist before time, but I believe that love was the motivation for the creation of time, the world, and humanity. And it's interesting to me when we look at how He made the world, He made love and relationships a part of the foundation of that world. Isn't it interesting when you look in Genesis 1 and 2, over and over God says as He created each day, it is good, it is good, it is good. But then chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, God said it was not good for man to be alone. And in response to what He saw, God created love. Well, the reality is He didn't create love. We know love already existed. What He did do, though, was create an opportunity for love to be expressed. For love to be expressed in a way it had not been expressed to this point. If you ask me, what was it that God saw that was not good about man being alone? You might make a list of several things that would be accurate and true. But if you were to ask me one thing that would be on that list, I believe it's possible that God said it was not good for man to be alone because alone man could not share love with a kindred spirit. Alone man could not share love with somebody like Him. Remember in chapter 2 when it talks about the animals parading before Him and He named the animals, but He didn't find anybody like Himself that He could have a kindred spirit relationship with. And so God created another human being. And in so doing, He made it possible for human beings to have relationships. And in so doing, He made it possible for human beings to share love. In that love relationship shared in a marriage was to be so strong and so sacred and so powerful that it was never to be broken. In chapter 2, verse 24, it says, a husband is to leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and they become one flesh. And you know that word joined means to be glued together with an unbreakable bond is the idea. So strong, so sacred, so committed in love and relationship that according to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, it says, what God has joined together, what God has glued together, let no human being break it. There was love before time, but there was also love in the beginning of time. I believe it was love that motivated God to create. And when He created, He made love and sacred relationships the foundation of human existence in time. But not only do we find love before time and at the beginning of time, but we find love in time. In other words, we see love being expressed and marching side by side with humanity through the expression of existence and time. And especially do we see love being expressed to humanity by God. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 37 basically tells us that it was out of love that God chose Israel. It wasn't out of some special thing seen in the Israelites. He would talk about in the book of Deuteronomy that they're not bigger than other nations. They're not more powerful than other nations. He just chose to love them. And then in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, especially around verses 5 and 6, he says the Israelites were to return the love that God expressed to them. That they were to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. But Israel didn't do that very well. And over through the story of the Old Testament of Israel's relationship with God, we see a people who failed to love God back. But we also see a God that kept on loving them. I believe there's a great expression of God's faithfulness if you look over in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Because there it talks about the fact that Micah, speaking for and to God, says, "You do not retain your anger." He does not retain His anger. "For He delights in unchanging love." I know a lot of you have seen the movie Fireproof. We even showed it here and had a class about it. And so if you've seen it, I want you to remember a scene that really stands out to me. Remember that Caleb and Catherine Holt are on the verge of a divorce. And Caleb has begun to make changes. He's been enlightened. He is waking up to changes he needs to make. And so he's begun to express love and try to rebuild the relationship and begin to show some kindness that he hadn't been showing. But Catherine hasn't seen that yet. And Catherine's not open to change just yet. And so Caleb is talking to his father one day, and he's describing how frustrated he is with the fact that his efforts are getting no response from his wife. And he says something to the effect, "How do I keep loving someone who keeps rejecting me?" Now, his dad's response is interesting. His dad at first doesn't say anything. The conversation takes place at an outdoor chapel on a church campground. And instead of responding immediately, the father walks over to a wooden cross that is standing nearby, and he leans up against the cross. He leans against the cross so that when Caleb looks at him, Caleb has to look at the cross. And then once he's leaned up against the cross, he answers the question by saying, "Good question." Caleb said, "How do I show love to somebody who constantly rejects me?" Dad responds, "By the cross. Good question." And it was in that moment that as Caleb stared at that cross, he began to see that he was doing to God exactly what he accused his wife Catherine of doing to him. And that embodies the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is a story of a humanity that never loved God as they should, and a God who reached out time and time again in love and in forgiveness. God deserved to be loved by human beings, and He wanted human beings to love each other. Instead, we bicker and we fight. We are brutal to each other. We murder each other. And the fact is, God should have rejected us. God should have ignored us. God should have walked away from us. But God did the unimaginable. God did the unthinkable. Instead of walking away from us, He drew closer to us. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And I believe that Jesus was not only here to save us from our sins, but He was here to show us what it really meant to live in the image of God. And He was here to show us what real love for each other and for God looks like when it's lived out in a human life. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." In Romans chapter 8, we find in verses 5 through 10 that the cross and the love of Christ are the ultimate demonstrations of the love of God. And they are not only, or the cross is not only the ultimate demonstration of God's love, it is the ultimate example of what real love is and what real love looks like. Before He went to the cross, in John chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus said, in talking about His life of service and love, especially as shown there in chapter 13 to the apostles, He said, "I've left an example that you should do as I've done to you." And then in verse 35 of John chapter 13, He says, "Here's how the world will know you're My people. If you love each other." The world doesn't know that we're God's people based on what's written on that sign out front. The world doesn't know we're God's people based on things we say to them or things we tell them. People determine whether we're God's people by how we treat each other, how we treat our fellow human being. Love was to be the sign that said, here are God's people. Scripture shows us that love was there before time. Love was there in the beginning of time. And love was displayed in the passage of time, especially in the person of Jesus Christ and in the event of the cross. But Scripture also shows us that love will be there after time. It's interesting that 25 years after Jesus said, "The world will know you're my disciples by your love for each other," the church at Corinth had forgotten what Jesus said. Instead of loving each other, being united as God desired, they were bickering and fighting and divided. They divided up into camps over who was their favorite preacher. They bragged over their spiritual gifts and how their spiritual gift was better than somebody else's spiritual gift. They jockeyed for positions of leadership in worship services and in the congregation as a whole. When we read through 1 Corinthians, especially verses 12 and 13, we're reading the words of an apostle who's absolutely shocked at what he's seen. It's interesting that they seem to have put a lot of stock in having the gift of speaking in tongues. It's interesting when the apostle Paul listed the gifts of tongues, guess what one he put last? The one they thought was the big deal. And he goes on to say, and don't you understand these things weren't designed to last to begin with? These things are just temporary. As our reading noted a few moments ago, he says they will cease. They were never designed to last forever. They were never designed to be endless. And so what he's basically saying to the Corinthian brethren, in places like 1 Corinthians 13, he's saying, why do you bicker and fight and divide over the trivial and the temporary? Instead, why don't you invest in what lasts and what is important? And in that chapter, he highlights the three great emotions which are to undergird the existence of God's people. In verse 13, faith, hope, and love. Two of these come together in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11 that we've been looking at on Sunday nights. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Verse 6 of that chapter says, we can't please God without faith. Faith and hope are wonderful and beautiful things. Yet, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that love is greater. Faith is what brings us into a relationship with Jesus. Hope is what gives us the endurance to deal with the struggles of life until Christ comes back. How can love be better than these two? I think the answer may be found in verse 8 where it says, love never fails. Literally, it says, love never falls down. The pyramids of Egypt will crumble into the dust of the earth. The tallest peaks on the planet may someday slip into the heart of the sea. Eventually, this entire planet will burn up in the fire of God's justice. But love will remain. I believe faith and hope will also end someday. I believe faith will end when we stand before the Father. I believe hope will end when we enter the gates of heaven. For in heaven we will no longer walk by faith, but we will walk by sight, living in the reality of what we had hoped in and had put our faith in. But what will still remain, what will never have fallen, is love. We've seen that love was there before time, in the beginning of time, was displayed in time by Jesus Christ, and will still be there after time and throughout eternity. My question for us is, in light of the value of love and the enduring and lasting nature of love, why is it that we're so terrible at expressing it? Why is it that we're really not so different from the people at Corinth? And that we spend our lives focusing on the trivial and the temporary. Someday we're going to stand in eternity and we're going to look back on the expanse of our lives. And when we get there, we're not going to care what we made in a chemistry test last week. We're not going to care what kind of job we had or whether we even had a job. We're not going to care about our income or how big our house was or whether we had a nice boat to go fishing in. All that's going to matter when we get to that moment in our existence is who we loved and who loved us. And are we going to like what we see in the rearview mirror? Because remember, the only thing we get to take with us is love. And especially the love we share with God. Is there somebody here today who has never expressed their love for God based on faith, showing their repentance, confession, and being baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of sins? Is there somebody here today who's a child of God but hasn't been living like they love God and others and we need to make a change? Is there somebody here today that we haven't been loving like we should and we need to repair our relationship with? Let's do it like right now. Because in the end, only love remains. I'm reminded of the words of a song by Colin Ray that says, "Kingdoms come and go, but they don't last. And before we know, the future is the past. In spite of what's been lost and what's been gained, we are living proof that love remains." I don't know what I would do in this world without you. We all live, we all die, but the end is not goodbye. The sun comes up, the seasons change, but through it all, love remains. If we can help you in your relationship with God, please come as we stand and sing.